We're going to read from Acts chapter 21, verse 1-14. Acts chapter 21, verse 1-14. And when it came about that we had parted from them and had set sail, we ran a straight course to Kos, and the next day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And having found a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. And we had come in sight of Cyprus, leaving it on the left, we kept sailing to Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload its cargo. And after looking up the disciples, we stayed there 7 days, and they kept telling Paul through the Spirit not to set foot in Jerusalem. And when it came about that our days there were ended, we departed and started on our journey, while they all, with wives and children, escorted us until we were out of the city. And after kneeling down on the beach and praying, we said farewell to one another. Then we went on board the ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished the voyage from Tyre, we arrived Patamis, and after greeting the brethren, we stayed with them for a day. And on the next day, we departed and came to Caesarea. And entering the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven who stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who were prophetesses. And as we were staying there for some days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, "This is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." And when we had heard this, we as well as the local residents began begging him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And since he would not be persuaded, we fell silent, remarking, "The will of the Lord be done." Amen. So I was reading through these passages again this morning and yesterday. And just interesting to note, and I'm just going to highlight a few things here. In chapter 20, verse 22, Paul says, as he's leaving Ephesus that we read yesterday, "And now, behold, bound in spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there." So there's a prompting in his relationship with God, and God is telling him that he has to go to Jerusalem and testify about what God has been doing in the work of the Gentiles. And he knows that the Jews in Jerusalem particularly are really fuming against him. I mean, here's a man who used to be a Pharisee now going out rejecting and turning people away from, the law and the traditions. And so yet the Spirit is prompting Paul to go. And here in verse 21, or in chapter 21, you read about the disciples that were looked up in Miletus, Tyre. And here it says, interestingly it says, "And after looking up the disciples, we stayed there 7 days, and they kept telling Paul through the Spirit not to set foot in Jerusalem." And then going down, a prophet comes, and he shares that this is what's going to happen to you. And then in verse 13 here, Paul is again firmly saying, "What are you guys doing? I've been called by the Spirit." And here these people are, they're praying, and in the Spirit they're telling Paul not to go. So what's going on here? And it's all to say, who's right, who's wrong? I've heard of experiences where a member in a church will say, "Well, I'm being led by the Spirit, and I feel like I need to go out from here and go to another place, and God has called me. I'm confirmed." And then a pastor will say, "Well, are you sure? I've kind of been sensing something different." I've heard in another church where, the covering of a pastor would say to this person, "Don't go out. It's not time for you to go out." And sure enough, this person would go out, and things would just unravel, and they'd come back just kind of broken and busted. And so what degree, and how do you know where to draw the line, and who has covering and who has the authority? And I think the bottom line comes down to, on one end, you can't replace sort of the guidance of, say, a pastor or, say, a leader or, say, even a house church or a ministry to that which you're getting from God. And what I mean by that is you primarily need to be in a position where we are in such intimacy and relationship with God that we can hear. Because there will come situations where someone else might hear, and it's not that they're not hearing from God, but they may interpret it differently. Does that make sense? So they're hearing the same thing. So, for example, what I'm saying is here's a man, and he comes and he says, this is how you're going to be bound, this is how you're going to be tortured, therefore, don't go. It's not that he's hearing from God incorrectly. He's not hearing from God incorrectly. He's hearing from God correctly. This is what will happen to Paul in Jerusalem. But his take on the situation is, therefore, don't go. Whereas Paul's take on hearing from the Lord is, yeah, this is what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I know that in every city I go to, there's going to be trials and tribulations. But God has called me to go. And so the point is, if you don't have that intimacy with the Lord, then really you're going to be directed by other people's promptings or interpretations of the Spirit. Now, that's not always a bad thing, especially when we're, you know, in a season of doubt or in a season of, I don't know, maybe we're in sin and we're unclear on the direction of what the Lord is doing. Then we can lean, you could say, for a moment or so on the direction of a pastor or the direction of, you know, counsel of a few friends. But that can't define your decision-making process as a believer, you know, throughout your life, right? I mean, we have to be in a position. And in a similar way, you know, we can't, this kind of ties in with this, but we can't replace or substitute our own devotional or our own intimate times with the Lord. We can't substitute that with, say, our weekly house church meeting or an occasional retreat or, you know, or a great conference. You know, we have great speakers, and I've said this before. You know, we run the risk of number one, not hearing from God directly. Number two, being kind of shifted and molded and going places based on other people's spirituality when it should be us directly. When we ourselves have that full capacity, we have the full ability and right to hear from the Lord. And it requires that we walk in holiness and impurity and in obedience. Amen? So on one end here, you see kind of like, I guess I just want to close on this note, where people in the fellowship are actually causing Paul more strain. You know, here he is trying to do the will of God that he's received, and people are making it more difficult for him. And then if you just turn to Acts 28, and I'll just close with this thought. You know, a lot of chapters have passed. He's gone to Jerusalem. You know, he was almost assassinated. You know, the Jews had plotted against him. He'd gone before several rulers, Felix, some others that had forgotten about him. I think it was, what, Justice or whatnot. Anyways, he eventually set sail for Rome and shipwreck and whatnot. All these things happen. And in chapter 28, verse 15, and the brethren, when they heard about us, came from there as far as the market of Appius and three inns to meet us. And when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. And so here, you know, kind of on the other end, you know, when you're walking confidently in the Spirit and you know that which God has called you to and you're moving forward and you face tribulations and struggles even within the midst of that, you know, your family, your brothers and sisters in Christ are able to come in the midst of you walking in the center of God's will and greatly encourage and greatly strengthen. But the key takeaway, right, in either situations, right, is that you, that we, that I are walking intimately with the Lord and that we have sort of the direct channel, the ear of the Lord, you could say, on matters. Amen. So let's bow our heads this morning. You know, and just meditate on this for a little bit. You know, just, you know, we've all been in these situations. I've been in these situations, you know, where, you know, things seemed really cloudy or maybe I wasn't walking in as righteous a manner as I should have been, and things presented themselves and I didn't know which direction or whatnot. And those times, you know, I have sought the counsel of mentors and pastors, you know, accountability groups. But how much sweeter, how much more meaningful, how much more powerful, how much more of an experience, And, you know, that's what we want, right? Day after day, week after week. You know, I want to encounter God. I want to experience Him. I want to hear His word. I want to take out a step, step out into an act of faith, and I want to experience Him for myself. I don't want Sean Smith's experiences to impact me, so to say. I don't want Pastor Sam or, you know. I want my own experiences with God. And that is completely determined by our intimacy and seeking after the Lord. So let's just spend some time this morning. And you know, if we need to confess, you know, if we've been riding the wave of other people's spirituality, or we've been really dependent on a spiritual leader. And again, it's not bad to get advice. And sometimes their counsel is you know, maybe God's directive for you. But really, as you know, as we mature as believers, you know, we have the inside track individually, because the Spirit lives in us. So just spend some time this morning and just meditate on that. And I wanted to comment also, you know, it's difficult to constantly set a time. And I was reading this parenting devotional, and I'm not going to read all of it, but there's just a section of it that I thought was so applicable to our time with our Father in Heaven. And this writer is actually talking about dads and their children. But I read it in another way where, you know, it really speaks insight into us and our relationship with God. And let me just read this for you. What can you do, right, in terms of your relationship with you and our Heavenly Father? One, determine balanced priorities. Ask God to help you order your life according to His priorities. Two, think through your promotions. Often promotions come with a corresponding increase in workload and hours. That's pretty simple. Consider changing jobs. Make sure you get, you know, prompting and confirmation of the Spirit in this. No job is worth sacrificing your spouse or children or your time with God, I would add. Stop gift wrapping the garbage. In other words, look beyond the attractive wrappings of anything that will drive you to perfection and sacrifice valuable time with you know, with the Lord. Slow down and live. For many of us, the pace of our lives is self-imposed. We do have a choice about what we do and the schedule we keep. Okay? And just alongside with that, you know, as we come into prayer, sometimes, you know, we don't know what to pray for. And sometimes we walk away feeling, okay, well, that wasn't really productive. And let me just read from you Romans 8. Verse 26 to 27. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. So I just really challenge us this morning, you know, as we close out our devotional in the next 30 minutes you have, you know, just come before the Lord. Really just, you know, you don't always have to have words, you know, but let the Spirit, you know, just point out and reveal things, you know, things that need covering, things that need prayer, things that need dealing with. Okay, so let's just come before the Lord as Pastor Nate leads us in a song.
Draw me close to You. Never let me go. I lay it all down to hear You say that I'm Your friend. You are my desire. will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace, help me find the way. Bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you. Draw me close, draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace.
Help me find the way.
Help me find, bring me back to you. Bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all. Help me know you are near.
You're all I want.
You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me.
Let's just spend some time and for one of our opening prayers, let's just thank God again. You know, thank Him for being available, for promising us His Spirit, and that He, you know, He makes no barriers. God doesn't make barriers. He breaks barriers. He did everything He could to open the channel ways for us to hear and receive and to fellowship. So let's just give thanks. Thank God. Thank Him for His Son Jesus Christ that makes everything possible. Let's just worship Him. Let's pray for our house churches tonight. Let's pray for Jimmy and Boyoung in Cane Road. They've only actually met once. This will be their second meeting. So let's just pray that, you know, a little of a slow start, but that God would really just bring things together and people really connect, and the leaders would be blessed, members would be blessed. And again, you know, let's make it a prayer that our house churches wouldn't be a substitute for our members. And that can easily happen, especially if we don't communicate, but that, in fact, it would just be a supplement to really help people grow. And then, of course, people who are not in the faith, you know, it's a really good halfway to, before coming into the church. So just pray that the house church ministries will just be a powerful and effective tool. Let's pray for our leaders, Jimmy and Poyang. Let's just cover them and our other house churches. Let's pray. Let's pray for our retreat, Stefan Hugo. Let's just really cover. Let's just cover that land. The hotel, whatnot. You know, hotel rooms, whatnot, are used for all various things. Who knows what? Let's just pray covering, a spiritual covering and protection, cleansing. Even now, as we prepare, you know, as we anticipate the great things that God is going to do. Let's just sow those seeds of prayer right now, and just pray covering God's presence to dwell. And wherever God's presence dwells, that place is holy. So let's just pray protection. Pray for our speaker, Stefan Hugo. Just continual protection, guiding a word from God as he seeks him intimately. Let's just pray for all the details. Pastor Nate is doing a lot of admin. You know, that there'd be no stress, that things would come together, that we would just be completely have our sight and vision upward. And let's just pray for protection over these things. Let's cover our retreat. Lastly, let's pray for our sister Janie. We got a couple text messages last night from Kenny. He actually stayed the night at the hospital. She had some stomach pain, and it looked like they were going to have to take out her appendix. But the doctors diagnosed it, and it's about 50% chance that they will or will not have to. But she was in a lot of pain yesterday, last night, and possibly all morning. So let's just pray complete healing. That surgery would not be necessary, that God would heal it, that the swelling will go down, that the pain would be eased. Let's just pray covering over Janie, and let's just bless her. Yeah, actually, I have an update. They already took it out, so that prayer opportunity has passed. Let's just pray just a speedy recovery, no complications, no infections. She's still in a lot of pain, so let's just pray just comfort and the easing of the pain. So let's just cover and bless Janie. Father, we just want to thank you, God, for this morning. God, we thank you for the reminder, God, that a lot of godly men and women have, you know, a lot of great intentions, God. And we have no doubt, Lord, that you speak through these godly men and women. But God, we want to hear from you. God, I want to hear from you. Lord, we want to walk in obedience to the things that you've called us to. So God, just challenge our hearts today, God, to position ourselves, Lord God, to be in such intimacy and in such a relationship with you, God, that we have such confidence that in the face of doubt, of ridicule even, God, inside and out, Lord God, that we would unwaver in our faith. God, we just thank you, God, that you love us and that you've made a way. Bless this time, bless this day. In Jesus' name, amen.